please dial.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This is the 14th day of October, believe it or not, 2000. And is it 13th? Let's see. You don't have to believe it then. It's the 13th day of October, 2005. We're already off to a good start. We frequently have problems with dates on the... Actually, I shouldn't use that royal we. I frequently have problems with dates. The 13th day of October, 2005. We welcome you. We're glad you've joined us this morning. The station that helps you think better and deeper. We're unlike those other stations, as you found out if you've been listening for any particular time. 87.9 in Spartanburg, 97.7 in Greenville, 96.5 in Powdersville. So as you're driving up and down the interstate, remember you have to switch the channel a little bit and stay tuned to the great programming on the Tyranny Response Network. Anyway, as you're making your way to work now, we want to quick check the weather, and here it is.
Well, it's right now 77 degrees in Greenville. Well, that's going to be the high. The temperature now is 60 degrees. It's overcast. Humidity is 93%. We're getting some mist out there. Should be 77 the high today and 59 below. Today should be mostly cloudy with patchy fog this morning, becoming partly cloudy. As I said, high in the upper 70s. Still partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s with light and variable wind. Our quote today is from one of your favorites, Dr. Coben, Nelson Mandela. And he says, "In my country, we go to prison first and then become president."
Yeah, that's pretty good. In our country, you just become a criminal first, then you become president, and then you don't ever have to go to jail. You get exonerated from whatever you do. That's just a different way of doing things, different culture. You know, I guess that we have to just accept our cultural differences. All right, well, we got lots and lots of stories today to talk about. Remember our new phone number to the show, 864-244-9904. That's 864-244-9904. The old line's still up and running to some extent, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. In case you want to chime in early on some of these topics of the day. Well, there's only two more days left before the Christian Exodus meeting, so we're going to give extra special attention today and tomorrow. Remember, the Christian Exodus event is going to be at this Saturday at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. That will be the Greenville Hilton, which is right off of Pelham and Haywood Roads area there. You take the 385 exit, Haywood Road exit to get there. The way to register for this conference is quite simple. You simply call 877-727-3578. That's right, 877-727-3578. I imagine at this point you can't be mailing your checks to Valley Springs, California. You'll probably have to bring your money to the door. But by all means do so. They'll be more than happy to have people come. But you'll need to go ahead and give them a call today if you plan to attend, because they need to make reservations for the number of people eating lunch. At any rate, you're going to have some great speakers come into the Christian Exodus event. You're going to have Dr. Hugh Court, Michael Chapman, Larry Kilgore, yours truly, Dr. John Coben, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey R. Burnell. They'll all be covering a wide range of topics important to Christian constitutionalists. A panel discussion with CE members who have moved to the South Carolina area, and presentation of CE's relocation assistance and home building programs. the demonstration of Christian Exodus's feasibility and likelihood of success. Now, I want you to also remember to get a copy of the Greenville News this morning. Yesterday, a reporter from the Greenville Noise or News called me and wanted an interview with the Tyranny Response Unit. Wanted to tell me all about the Tyranny Response Network, and which I was a little bit elusive on because it, you know, this wasn't a story about TRN in particular, but he wanted to know how we were all connected, and he was sitting there looking at the big Confederate flag on the Tyranny Response Network website. I'm very concerned, obviously, and especially he wanted to especially talk about secession with me. And overall, you know, the interview went well, but you just never know how something's going to turn out when it's actually on in the paper. I asked him where it was going to be, where the story would be with the interview with Dr. Coben, and he said it would be on page one. Front page. And if it doesn't make it there because of whatever reason, it'll be on the front page of the Metro section. So make sure you pick up a copy of the Greenville News today as you're going around to see how that turned out. Anyway, the Christian Exodus event will be this Saturday. They've asked me to speak about the following topic. Or actually, I suggested it to him and they approved it. He says, I'll be sharing how perverse economic incentives lead to permanent government failure and why private property rights were the choice of the founders for protection of liberty. That's what we'll be talking about. I'll be talking about. Other speakers are going to be talking about totally different subjects, but always very, very good stuff, including Michael Chapman talking about grassroots education movements, and Hugh Court, a psychiatrist, Dr. Hugh Court, talking about terrorism sources and how that all ties together. Mr. Brigginson, the vice chairman of the Republican Party in Dorchester, he's running for a county council seat. Then you have Corey Burnell, of course, who's the president and chairman of Christian Exodus. He'll be speaking. And Larry Kilgore, he's the one who's running for governor of Texas on the Republican primary on a strict Christian platform and a determination to eradicate illegal immigration. Anyway, if you can attend the conference, it's $40. Give them a call at 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. You'll be glad you did. It'll be a good opportunity for you to check some stuff out and hear what's going on with the Christian Exodus. And do call in. If anybody gets the paper early this morning, I haven't seen it yet. If anybody's got the paper, our producers found the link. Is our story already up there? Oh, wow. Okay. Is it on page one? Well, we're on page one. We're going to find out what this thing is, and maybe during the break we'll read it a little bit. If any of you all have your Greenville News, if any of you are afflicted by carrying this paper, go ahead and read it and give us a call to the show and let us know what you think about that article in there. Well, here is a funny thing out of Internal Medicine News. Internal Medicine News says, Wither Grammy, wither the empire. After 6 years of alleged death threats, arson, hate mail, hoax, bombs, and malicious phone calls, a family in Stratfordshire, England, has agreed to cease breeding guinea pigs for medical research. The final straw was when animal rights activists dug up the family's matriarch from her churchyard grave, where she had been buried at her death 7 years earlier. Gladys Hammond, the pilfered ancestor in question, was the grandmother of Christopher Hall, a part owner of the Darley Oaks Farms, site of the guinea pig breeding program. The tactic accomplished what violence and threats could not. The farm would cease breeding guinea pigs or any other animal for the purpose of medical research. Mrs. Hammond was recalled as being a kind, gentle countrywoman who loved animals. According to a BBC report, it's a victory for the animals, and it's a fundamental victory for the animal rights movement. Johnny Holmes of Stop the New Church Guinea Pigs told BBC, "First fox hunting, now guinea pig breeding. We shudder to think of what beloved British institution will be next to fall prey to animal rights activists." Just kidding. We love animal rights activists. Please don't hunt us down like dogs. Wait, we did not mean that, but we know you would never hunt dogs or even hunt with dogs. Hunting, bad. Dogs, good. Cute article, isn't it? These people are just repulsive, these animal rights folks, PETA, whatever these animal rights nuts are. At any rate, it's just disgusting with this kind of stuff.
Dr. Coben, when you pull that up and see about your article in Greenville News, you'll notice they're talking about someone else. This is a Dr. John Corbin, and I don't believe I know him.
Yeah, some other, you know, they frequently do that with my name, but that's good. That way when they're doing an internet search for me, you know, the FBI or whoever's looking for me won't be able to to find me as easy, I guess. Is that that's a good thing? Now, let me see here if we've got... let me see what I've got here for the Greenville News. We'll try to go ahead and pull that thing up. It depends how fast my internet works. Does this link automatically go to it? Oh, here it is. Okay. Christian Exodus calls people here to transform the state's government. And this is by Ron Barnett. Yep, that's the guy who called me. That's him. Let's see. We're down towards the bottom. And he's talked to Butch Taylor, Janoski, and Tancredo. And where are we here? All the way towards the bottom. Rick, where it says Rick Hannisberg, president of the Upstate Chairman Chapter of Americans. No, we're down below. Okay, there it is. Dr. John Corbin. Yes, whoever that is. The group is trying to gather political strength in South Carolina by starting with people who don't necessarily agree with everything it espouses. One such individual is Dr. John Corbin of Greenville, a scheduled speaker for this weekend's conference. You know, this is annoying when they do this kind of stuff. This guy, I told this guy that I am in vast agreement with what Christian Exodus is doing. I said there might be a few things here and there that we disagree on, and I named a couple things like how we control immigration problems over the border. And you know what he's emphasizing here? That people who don't necessarily agree with everything, it makes it sound like I'm a detractor more than an advocate, doesn't it? Anyway, well, that's what you get from the news. Corbin, a financial planner and Christian talk show host, will speak on how perverse economic incentives lead to permanent government failure and why private property rights were the choice of the founders for the protection of liberty. Well, he's got that right. He supports the Christian Exodus movement, but differs with it on such issues as how to deal with immigration and on the role of government in such things as homosexuality. Christian Exodus believes homosexual acts should be illegal, and Corbin advocates adhering to biblical norms for proper social perspective, but rarely looking to the state for solutions to social problems. Okay, well, he's got that pretty much right, to some extent. It's never going to be right when you're dealing with these pagan media whore types, but anyway, I should probably give the guy a little bit of a break. I mean, he's probably hit right out of the blue, never heard, blindsided by somebody, me talking to him for 20 minutes about things that I think. Doesn't know what to think about me other than I must be some goofball. He probably won't be coming by to give me his business to roll over his IRA, or his 401k, I should say. Anyway, his radio show is broadcast locally over the internet on the Tyranny Response Network, which is said, he said, airs the views of constitutionalists, pro-life libertarians, League of the South members, and the Sons of Confederate Veterans, among others. I would love to see us be able to secede from the Union, Corbin said. Whether or not it will ever be able to be pulled off in our lifetime is very doubtful. Okay, so he's got some of that part right, too. We'd love to be able to see us secede from the Union. So, anyway, in some sense, that was benign, even though he got his emphasis wrong, and probably purposely did that. So they probably had a hard time finding anybody to detract, so they decided to emphasize the minor little points here and there. Oh, they've got a picture of Charles Lewis and his wife on the front page. Is this on the front page? Oh, man, we can't tell on the internet if this is really front page news or not. Anyway, get a copy of the story today. It's in the Greenville News. You'll see it there on the internet. We'll have to forward this off to Corey too and see what he has to say. Well, we're coming close to a break here, and we've got let me do my quick ad here since we've got just enough time for that, and then we'll move on to a break. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. However, there is no meeting tonight. It's been canceled for this month, so come next month. In Spartanburg, the business meeting is on the third Tuesday of the month. That's at 6:30 p.m., and the meeting place is at Westside Branch of the Spartanburg County Library. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. And in Spartanburg, the Liberty of Plenty meeting is on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we're coming up for a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Iraq, the model web log, Tuesday, September 27th, says Williamson Evers. Baghdad City Council discusses paying money to residents instead of the, something's missing here. Wait a minute. Need a noun. Instead of the to be canceled. Does that make any sense to you when you read that line? Paying money to residents instead of the to be canceled. Okay, somebody needs to learn how to write before they send out their emails from Stanford University. We're going to skip this article because I can't understand what it's saying. That makes sense. I started reading something I thought it was going to be good, and then I'm going to skip it because if I can't read words in it, it really doesn't work out well. Well, we have a couple of articles that were sent to us from different folks. One, we can highlight first of all the, since we're talking about web blogs real quickly, Fox News bloggers seek to mix faith and the internet is one of the lead stories on Fox News today. When Johann Gutenberg's printing press began churning out Bibles in the 15th century, the new technology helped usher in a new era of religion in Europe. Nearly 600 years later, some think that increasingly popular weblogs, the internet's version of personal journals, pamphleteering, and issue forums, all wrapped up in one, combined with traditional religious beliefs, could once again take people on a new, uncharted course. Ooh, how scary. And they go on to talk about how people use it to support marriage, God-oriented perspectives on politics, and so forth. What a terrible thing. Actually, Fox News may be a little bit scared of it, but we're not. I kind of like web blogs. Seems like a good deal to me. Then we also have another story that came in on the public schools. Let's see if we can pull this one up. We may not be able to. Sometimes the Tyranny Response Network unit's computer here gets all these different pop-up windows and things, and it tends to be pretty irritating. Well, here's one on houses of worship. This came from our illustrious producer this morning, I think. Blameless but viable, a bankruptcy judge threatens religious freedom. This is by Vincent Carroll on the Wall Street at WSJ.com. And he says, when Bishop William Scott Skillstad of Spokane, Washington, warned recently of the natural consequences of bankruptcy ruling that has rocked his diocese, it wasn't an instance of self-serving rhetoric. The fate of the decision has implications not just for Roman Catholics, but for anyone who cares about religious liberty. According to federal bankruptcy judge Patricia Williams, more than 80 Catholic parishes in the Spokane area are no more than branch offices of the local archdiocese. Archdiocese creditors, in this case the victims of sexual abuse by various priests, have as much right to the assets of churches and schools as they do the buildings and investments under direct diocesan control, or so the judge reasoned. It so happens, however, that the Catholic Church does not think of parishes as diocese branch offices. It never has. The Church's canon law, the world's oldest formal legal system of continuous use, says that parishes are separate entities. While spelling out their relationship with the presiding bishop, he wields considerable authority within his domain, but parish assets are not to dispose of as he pleases. Well, this is quite an intrusion, isn't it? That all of a sudden, I mean, in Baptist, you can be relatively safe here, right? Unless you're in the Southern Baptist Convention, then she might try to get you too. But anybody else who's got a church government system, which has any sort of hierarchy, would seem could be attacked by this. One church does something screwy somewhere, say you're in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church or a Congregational Church or a Methodist Church, and say you're a conservative church group, and all of a sudden you've got some liberal element that comes into one of your churches and, you know, out west or something or up north. Well, what happens to you? Well, it sounds like they might be able to come and get your assets because you're affiliated with them. That's what it seems like. So hopefully this is going to be appealed and overturned. If not, it's just another chink in the armor, or just another stone paved on the way to the terrestrial hell that the liberals are bringing on for us here in America. So this is bad news. All right, here's another story. That's the Christian Exodus story. Let's go back to... Well, where did the thing go? We're going to go and find the one from on teachers here in a minute. Somehow we missed one. We'll get that right after the break, I think. Here's one from Joseph Farrar that was sent up to from a Christian Exodus member. He says, "What to do now? My instincts were right back in 2004, and this is on WorldNet Daily, by the way. I should not have pulled the lever for George W. Bush, and I should never have urged others to do so." Good. Well, I'm glad he's got that right. "Even my wife, who coaxed me to break my vow never to support a candidate who doesn't honor the Constitution, agrees now it was a mistake. Without making more excuses, all I can say for myself was that I was so moved by the action of the Swift Boat vets and their righteous campaign against traitor John Kerry, my emotions got the best of me. I lost my head. I was not true to the promise of my own book, Taking America Back, just out in paperback, to avoid supporting the lesser of two evils and to avoid making insidious compromises in electoral politics to avoid at all costs supporting politicians who do not understand and abide by the Constitution. I didn't support Bush in 2000 for precisely this reason. Asked what he would do if faced with congressional legislation that was clearly unconstitutional, I heard the candidate Bush answer these words, which I shall never forget: how will I know if a law is unconstitutional? I want to help George to get a copy of the Constitution. You read it. Anyway, on the basis of that remark alone, it should have been no surprise that no one that Bush has that surprise that that one that Bush has been a ma- it should surprise no one that Bush has been a massive failure as president. And he's going to remind you of the record. He pursued wars in Iraq and Afghanistan without congressional act of war. That's against the Constitution. While pursuing foreign wars, he forgot the first responsibility of anyone in combat, to secure the perimeter. Bush has encouraged the Republican Congress to spend like drunken sailors. And finally, there are Bush selections for the Supreme Court. After he chose John Roberts, there was much speculation on the right that Bush was saying his best selection for the second time around. After he chose Harriet Myers, his personal lawyer and White House counsel, a trial lawyer whose own record running the Texas state lottery should be subject of investigation and possible indictment, Bush's true intentions became clear. He was not going to remake the Supreme Court. He was not going to stop judicial activism. He was not going to fulfill his campaign promise to appoint Clarence Thomas's or Anton Scalia's to the bench. It's time for every conservative in America to realize you've been played for the fool. It's time to wake up. It's time to acknowledge you will not save America from ruin by supporting people like Bush and his Republican majority band of co-conspirators in the House and Senate. It's time to play hardball. It's time to hold politicians to higher standards. It's time to stop looking to Washington to solve problems that have been created in Washington. It's time, in short, to stop thinking like and acting like so-called conservatives. It's time to get radical. It's time for the fight on the offense. It's time to be emulating men like Washington, Jefferson, Madison, not Bush, Cheney, and Rove. If this be revolution, let's make the most of it. It's time to take America back. This is from Joseph Farrar, and we appreciate Joseph Farrar actually saying all that. It's sad that it took people like him so long, two election cycles to come around. And we've been saying this for a long time. Remember, I remember scolding Tony Beam on the former Prater program I was on that he and anyone else who voted for George Bush would be sinning by doing so. And he would get all upset with me and angry and so forth. And then I see Tony Beam in his last couple Times Examiner articles, which I know no true conservative reads besides me, but he was whining in there. He was whining about, oh, Harriet Myers is not going to be good, and George let us down. And well, you know, guess what, Tony? Somebody told you it was wrong. He wrote a long column this week, too, babbling about how the Atlanta Braves and conservatives need a closer. And here he is. He's still unwilling to come down off his pride. I'm just going to read a little bit from his thing, because he hasn't come over to see what Farrah's seen, apparently, not yet. Even though he promised, if George Bush didn't do what it was right after having 55 senators and Republicans in Congress, he would think about joining the Constitution Party. Well, he hasn't done that yet. Republicans are still the only major political party, says Mr. Tony Beam, with the opportunity to bring about change. Libertarians, the Constitution Party, and others are still years away from fielding legitimate national candidates. But if evangelical Christians and other like-minded conservatives are going to gain any real ground in culture war, we must find a closer. We need a General Grant who knows how and when to take the battle to the opposition and who will refuse to allow opportunities for victory to slip away. Tony Beam, all I can say to you is you're still ignorant as ever.
Well, maybe we need a Abraham Lincoln, too.
Yeah, that'd be good. Get a new Lincoln up there. That would be good. I bet that would make him happy. He's been reading. Last year he was reading about the evils of Lincoln, too, but apparently he hasn't learned much yet. Maybe he's learned about Lincoln, hasn't learned about Grant or something.
Well, maybe he needs to plug up one ear.
That would help. You know, if he just listened to one ear, he wouldn't be so confused.
Well, and that way it wouldn't be going in one ear and coming out the other.
I got you. That also works, too. Okay. Well, anyway, we're glad for Joseph Farrah now knowing the truth, even though he sinned and did the thing bad deal twice and has been supporting Republicans all this time. If he just had people supporting third parties, whether it's the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party, either one of those candidates wins, we win. I don't care about the minor disagreements there are between the two relative to the others. We all win when one of those guys wins the election, period. And these guys that are supporting people like George Bush, hoping that Harriet Myers is a religious person. He listened to James Dobson, who comes out and supports her. Yes, she takes her religion seriously. What's Bush trying to do? I mean, how long is he going to pull the wool over your eyes, folks? She takes her religion seriously, please. I mean, I know American evangelicals are easy to dupe, but this is just pathetic. And people need to start listening to programs like Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network. And there are other stations around the country, too, to listen to that are alternative sources that give you the correct view that you should be taking as a Christian from the Bible and not just pandering and hopeful, wishful thinking going along with Republican candidates. Just bizarre how Christians are so willing to follow like sheep after the Pied Piper. Of course, Christ does call them sheep. So who's got the greater sin? Well, I suppose it'd be the leaders like James Dobson and others who've totally sold out to the left on this, or the neocon movement. At any rate, well, we've got a couple other quick stories to do, but I only have time for one quick ad before the break, so I'll do it now. Our friend, dear friend, Dr. Stephen Yates, has written a new book called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. And you can get a copy of this book by simply sending your money, $20.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Remember when you order the book that if you mention that you're a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, you will get a discounted price of only $18.99. So make sure you mention that. Send in your order today and get a copy of this good book. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production at policyofliberty.net. That's production at policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg, and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Always love listening to the Bill of Rights. Good stuff. That's right. It's part of your American heritage. Don't forget it. And don't vote for Republicans anymore, if you haven't learned. Anyway, here we are with the top of the hour, and some of you are still on your way to work, so let's check the weather for you.
Well, in Greenville, it's 60 degrees right now. 61 at the airport, 62 in Anderson, 63 in Clemson. And again, as we said, mostly cloudy today with patchy fog, so be careful out there when you're driving. That should become just partly cloudy and highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. And tomorrow, got highs in the 80s. So it looks like it's going to be a good, nice couple of days. Our quote for today is, a politician will do anything to keep his job, except become a patriot.
Oh.
William Randolph Hearst.
Very true, and good man to be quoting from. My mother lives near the Hearst Castle. It's quite a thing to go and see. Quite an eccentric man he was, too. Any rate, very much a speckled life in terms of his character, in terms of some things that went on, I know, but I'd rather have an industrialist, than, even though he probably was part of some New World Order, I mean, publishing, as he was, but I'd probably rather have him than some goofball, and they're like George Bush, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Hillary Clinton. All the ones that are mentioned are all a bunch of boneheads, should not be running the country. They probably will be running the country, but that'll give me something to keep harping on and talk about. I mean, imagine if Michael Perutka won. I mean, what would we talk about? We'd probably pick on other people, because it wouldn't be worth just nitpicking over minor issues. But so it keeps some of us busy, at any rate, to have these anti-Americans in office. Here's something that Doug Taylor sent up. He's the chairman of the Upstate Libertarian Society. He said, no child left behind. Teachers challenge new rules. This is from the Columbia newspaper, The State. It's a matter of principle, says one of two veterans who refused to take tests. Two Rosewood Elementary School teachers say they plan to defy the federal No Child Left Behind law. As a result, they won't be allowed to continue teaching fourth grade next school year. The new law passed in 2001 requires all teachers to be highly qualified by the 2006-2007 school year. That means they must have at least a bachelor's degree, meet state certification requirements, and demonstrate competency in the subject they teach from a mix and match menu of menu items such as tests or peer evaluations. Allison Stransley has taught in the fourth grade at Rosewood for nearly 31 years. But next year, she will no longer be qualified to teach because of the changes to the teacher quality requirements. Carolyn Carson faces the same fate after teaching fourth grade at Rosewood for 8 years. They could take the test or undergo semester-long classroom observations to meet the requirements, but they don't see why they should, so they refuse to jump through the new teacher quality hoops. We're not doing it. It's a matter of principle, Stasny said. When new laws are passed, lawyers don't have to retake the bar exam, Carson said, and when new medicines hit the market, doctors don't have to retake medical exams. If teachers don't meet the new law requirements, they could be out of a job unless they show a good faith effort to meet them. Carson and Stastny's response to the new requirements, as usual, said Richland and officials, Department of Education Deputy Superintendent, Director of... they say they're not surprised. I'm not going to read all these titles and names here. Anyway, well, this is sort of interesting, isn't it? Somebody rebelling against No Child Left Behind. Of course, they may truly be incompetent, but that may be the truth about most public school teachers. And do we really want to have competent public school teachers? I mean, what are we saying when we want competent public school teachers? That we want them to be proficient in teaching Darwinism, secular humanism, alternative lifestyles, transgendered sexual behavior? What is it that we want these people to be good at doing? If that's what's going on at public school, and they now and then teach a few little things here and there that might be like traditional English, grammar or mathematics, well, okay, I don't know if I really want them to be proficient. I think I'm in favor of having the worst quality people in the public schools teaching there. I think that's what I'm in favor of, because that way there's going to be less influence or less effectiveness in indoctrinating children with the ways of evil, with the ways that are opposed to the principles of the Founding Fathers and the ways that are opposed to God and His revealed word. So why do I want more qualified teachers? I guess I don't. I don't want anything to do with the public school. I want the public school to go away. I know that's shocking for some of you, but I just want it to be raised off the face of the earth. Sell off the buildings, put industry in there if they'll be willing to use it. If not, just raise the buildings and start over again. Use the land for something productive. Don't put public schools there. Get rid of them. So anytime children can miss school days, anytime there can be, Lord willing, expelled from the public school, we rejoice here. And so if teachers get kicked out, we're happy about it, but we'd prefer that the least competent ones, I think, would stay there to really ruin the thing as quickly as possible. I don't know if I can make myself any clearer on this, folks, but I don't see any reason to be worried about the fact that there's this testing program there, except that this testing program might actually serve to make them better at doing evil in the world. I don't want more Darwinism, secular humanism, paganism, violence, and the things that they promote. And you shouldn't either if you're a Christian. It's bad stuff. Oh, but I'm their salt and light, Dr. Kogan. I'm really helping the cause. Nonsense. Just utter nonsense. The same logic you're going to be over witnessing and doing good deeds at the strip clubs and at the porno firms and the abortion clinics and working for the National Organization for Women and whoever else. You have no business being there unless you're there to plant a bomb. And you don't have to kill people. I'm just saying literally destroy the thing from in one way or another, figuratively or literally. It's not worth saving. Okay, well, here's another story, moving on to a different topic. GOP aides add voices to resistance to Myers. This is interesting. This has come up from the illustrious Tyranny Response Network research staff. This is an article by David Kirkpatrick. I'm trying to find out where it's from. Once again, my illustrious staff didn't tell me where they got this thing from. Well, anyway, somebody somewhere on the internet wrote this. Everybody is hoping that something will happen on Myers, either that the president would withdraw her or she would realize she's not up to it and pull out while she still has some dignity intact, a lawyer to Republican committee member said. All the Republican staff members insisted on anonymity for fear of retaliation from their supervisors and from their Senate leaders. Many lawyers were critical or hostile to these people. These people said, you could say there is a pretty much uniform disappointment with the nomination at the staff level. I don't know if a staffer who approves of this nomination anywhere. Most of it is outright hostility through the Judiciary Committee staff. Most declined to comment themselves. On Tuesday, James C. Dobson, I guess I'm going to know where this is going to go. You probably do too. Founder of the conservative evangelical group Focus on the Family, and that conservative evangelical group, by the way, supports overtly Marxism and Darwinism, so I don't know how that can be a conservative evangelical group. If that's what conservative evangelicalism is, I'm out. I don't think it is, but that's what it would mean, because that's what James Dobson's up to. He explained previous comments about the confidential information he had influenced him to support Ms. Myers, a mystery that led some senators to threaten to call him to testify before the Judiciary Committee. According to a transcript on his radio broadcast today, Mr. Dobson said he was referring to a confidential telephone conversation with Karl Rove, the president's top political advisor, about Ms. Myers that occurred 2 days before Mr. Bush announced her selection. Mr. Rove gave Mr. Dobson permission to discuss the call, and much of the information has now become public, Mr. Dobson said. In addition to telling Mr. Dobson about her membership in a conservative evangelical church and her past support for anti-abortion group in Texas, Mr. Rove assured him that Ms. Myers was the kind of conservative jurist that the president had promised to appoint, and that the president knew her well enough to say with complete confidence, Mr. Dobson recounted. Republican staff members on the Judiciary Committee usually research and prepare arguments to defend the president's nominees, but Republican staff members on the panel said committee lawyers were doing research to rebut the talking points the White House has provided for senators to support Ms. Myers' nomination. For example, committee lawyers said the White House has told senators and conservative activists that Ms. Myers, as White House counsel, deserves credit for helping Mr. Bush select many strong conservative federal judges. But lawyers from the committee say Ms. Myers, who became the White House counsel last year, had no role in the most significant nominations. Ooh, okay, there's your latest scoop on the Myers debacle. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It looks like it's time for us to take a break, and so we're going to jump to that, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Social Security reform, rest in peace. Just 1 year after Bill Clinton introduced his health care overhaul in 1993, the plan collapsed. It took only 8 months for the same to happen to President Bush's proposal to create private Social Security accounts. So it looks like for whatever reason, that is dead at the moment, and that's too bad. It really is, because it works well. That was just a blurb. It came off the internet, by the way. I don't have an author for that, but except the Tyranny Response Network researchers sent it to me, so I know it's a valuable, valid document. It's sad because when we look at other countries like Chile, it works well. But the government, I said this all along, there's no way the federal government of the United States is going to give up 34% of its budget, because there is no trust fund that's real, folks. It goes through this convoluted system of getting to the federal budget. But 34% or somewhere over 30% of all the money the government spends every year, that's not debt related, of course. The money they collect, they extort from people, is extorted through Social Security taxes. The money goes directly to them. They spend it on anything they want. There is no savings account for you somewhere. And why would the federal government, give up 30-some-odd percent of its power and resources? There's just no way. It's not going to happen. No Republican or Democrat has the political spine, besides Ron Paul and maybe one or two others, to actually stand up and do such a thing on Social Security. It's not going to happen. And it's a sad thing, because in other countries it works so well. October the 12th, we were needed to be reminded, and I forgot to remind the other day, Robert E. Lee dies in 1870. General Robert Edward Lee, the commander of the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia, dies peacefully in his home in Lexington, Virginia. He was 63 years old. He was born to Henry Lighthorse Harry Lee and Ann Carter Lee at Stratford Hall, Virginia, in 1807. His father served in the American Revolution under George Washington. Lee attended West Point and graduated second in his class in 1829. He did not earn a single demerit during his 4 years at the academy. Lee sided with the Confederacy and spent the first year of the war as an advisor to Confederate President Jefferson Davis. He assumed command of the Army of Northern Virginia when Joseph Johnston was wounded in battle in May of 1862. Over the next 3 years, Lee earned a reputation as one of the greatest military leaders in history for his use of brilliant tactics and battlefield leadership. His invasions of the North in Antietam and Gettysburg, however, ended in defeat. Well, Antietam, I think, was a tie. Actually, we call that... what do we call Antietam? I used to live right there. No, but not... what's it called? What do the Southerners call it? Antietam is what the Yankees call it. Why, that just bugs me. I mean, how many times did I go by Sharpsburg? That's what it is. Sharpsburg. And, you know, I mean, I used to live right up there when I went to George Mason University. I drove up that way to church every day into Pennsylvania and drove right by Sharpsburg. 23,000 people killed in a single day. And Shiloh was the only one more bloody, but it took 2 days to kill, I think, 30,000 people there. Terrible. All started by vicious people like Abraham Lincoln, Edwin Stanton, and later on by scumbags like General Grant, who Tony Beam, by the way, wants us to find for ourselves nowadays to lead the conservative movement. What hope do we actually have when we got people like that around talking this way? Just ignorance. Terrible stuff. All right, well, we've got another good story to do, but before I do that, I want to give a quick plug for our friends at the Times Examiner, and also to mention something about the South Carolina Constitution Party. They're meeting. The South Carolina Constitution Party is going to be meeting at South Point Baptist Church this month at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer on October 27th at 7:30 p.m. A nursery will provide that so mommy can attend also. If you want more information about the meeting, call Pastor Romo at 269-1443. That's 269-1443. Under the Related Media tab on the Tyranny Response Network, I want to also let you know that we have a couple of things that are worth looking at. One is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. If you click on that link, you can sign the petition to help save your private property. We hope you will sign it. Take you 30 seconds of your time. And you can join the other nearly 300 people who've already signed the petition. So take advantage of that today. Go down to the Related Media tab on tyrannyresponse.com and scroll down to the bottom and click on the link that says South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. The Times Examiner is your independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage, like we were just reading about Robert E. Lee. A full-year subscription is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started today. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, you can do so by calling David directly, asking for him by name at 859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. All right. Well, we have a big article, a big story here from the American Medical News that my physician wife gave to me on her way out this morning. Abortion law raises question of murder charges. Physicians who violate new restrictions can be prosecuted for capital murder, the Texas District and County Attorneys Association says. Organized medicine disagrees with that analysis. Amy Snow Landa is the American Medical News correspondent who wrote this on October 10th. A dispute has erupted in Texas over whether state law enables public prosecutors to bring capital murder charges against physicians who violate new abortion restrictions. On one side is the Texas District and County Attorneys Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan corporation that trains and educates independently elected prosecutors in Texas. TDCAA contends that an abortion law that state legislatures approved this year has the effect, whether intentional or not, of exposing physicians who perform prohibited abortions to capital murder charges. In Texas, a capital murder conviction can carry the death penalty. On the other side, is the Texas Medical Association, which says TDCAA has issued a interpretation of the state law. It's highly unlikely that this DA Society's interpretation is accurate, TMA spokesman Darren Whitehurst said. TDCAA contends it does not take a position on what the law should say, only on what the law does say. We're not advocates, said Executive Director Rob Keppel, but it's our duty to tell people the way the law fits. According to TDCAA's interpretation, the new abortion law fits together with the state's existing fetal protection law, which allows prosecutors to charge with assault or murder individuals who harm or kill a fetus. That's that word fetus, by the way, it just means a baby, unborn child, in case you didn't know. Just a little word they throw out there to make you think of something less than human, or less than a person, at any rate. The new law, which took into effect September 1st, adds two abortion-related items to the list of prohibited practices in the Medical Practices Act of the state's Occupations Code. One item prohibits doctors from performing an abortion on a minor without written parental consent of a judicial bypass or judicial bypass order. The other item prohibits abortions during the third trimester except to save the woman's life or to prevent the woman from sustaining severe irreversible brain damage or paralysis, and also allowed if the fetus is severe, has a severe irreversible brain impairment, you can also do it, like an anencephalic baby. Well, you know, there's a problem with this third trimester stuff, you know, slaughtering off these unborn. There's no reason ever to have a third trimester abortion, especially with modern technology. You simply deliver the baby. I mean, I don't care if you cut them out or induce a normal natural birth. The baby will most likely survive with modern technology, especially in the, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth month, or towards the end of the ninth month. You know, there's just no reason ever. The mother's life is never in danger, folks. I mean, yeah, the baby could potentially cause some kind of reaction in the mother during that period, but okay, if she's going to die or be harmed, then deliver the baby. Big deal. You don't need to kill him. It's just disgusting. These people want to slice up and chop up and burn human beings in the womb because they don't see them, because they don't, you know, whatever reason, these scummy people. I mean, there's another way. Anyway, you've got to be a pretty scummy person to slaughter a baby. That's all I can say. I know I'm really pushing the envelope here. I'm supposed to be, you know, a charitable Christian here, but when you just the thought of seeing a little baby and you just kind of take your knife and just start chopping off his arms, you know, don't even give him any anesthesia before you kill him. Just slice him up or burn him to death, which is usually what they do with that saline injection. Just burn him, just pour acid all over him until he dies. That just really annoys me. It'd be kind of like, you know, me feeling like I should pull out my H&K 45 and just put a slug in your head. That's what it makes me feel like, because it's wrong. You are destroying someone created in the image of God for your own lust. And that's disgusting. Or to get your own money, these are so-called doctors that do these abortions. Well, here I'm mincing my words real well on abortion, but yeah, I know. I guess I mince my words pretty well. But what else can you do with abortion? I mean, it's just so revolting and disgusting that they just murder off so many millions of people. Just distasteful to say the least. Anyway, linking two laws, physicians who perform abortions prohibited under the Medical Practices Act would lose their license, but according to TDCAA, they would also lose their defense against prosecution under the state's fetal protection law adopted in 2003. Here's how TDC comes to that conclusion. The federal protection law allows capital murder charges to be brought against individuals who kill a fetus at any stage of gestation, from fertilization to birth. It provides for certain exceptions, including action taken by the mother or a lawful medical procedure such as abortion. However, abortions that are prohibited practices under the Occupations Code cannot be considered lawful medical procedures under the state's penal code, Keppel said, which the new abortion law, adding two abortion-related items to that prohibited practices list, the exception does not apply, he said. The way I look at it is this. It's pretty clear, Keppel said, but TMA's Whitehurst said the law is anything but clear. It's a real stretch to even get to the conclusion that could result in a murder charge against a physician, he said. Still, some physicians view the attorney's group interpretation with concern. We find it deplorable that this would even be a possibility, said David Kittrell, MD, chair of the Texas section of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Kittrell said he believes it's highly unlikely that any district attorney would try to make the quantum leap of trying to employ TDCAA's legal theory. By the same token, there are plenty of zealot district attorneys out there, and there is always a small possibility, he said. Both Kittrell and Whitehurst said they are reassured by the fact that lawmakers who authored the fetal protection law and the new abortion restrictions said they never intended for the laws to be used to charge doctors with murder. That's sad, but probably true. But anyway, the new abortion doctors law sponsor, Texas Representative Will Hartnett, said that such possibility had not occurred to him before the legislation was approved, and that he is still not sure how TDCAA reached its conclusion. We don't need to have any confusion about doctors facing murder charges, he said. There needs to be a clear line. And that's it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's good news that they can actually get one of these guys charged and then executed. it would, I would be in favor. I mean, generally, I don't like the way that the corrupt state runs things. I don't want to have any capital punishment because I think they're going to put innocent people to death just like they abort children. But I'd be more than happy to see the state execute one of these scumbag doctors that kills babies, especially late-term abortions where it's so obvious to anybody. I mean, you know, my wife recently came back from an ultrasound. You could see the little, you know, after 10 weeks, heartbeat, brain waves, fingers, sucking thumb. That's just 10 weeks, folks. It's repulsive to think that someone's going to go and slaughter off a baby. And if they get killed for it, they get put to death by lethal injection, or even if they just chop them up, burn them to death with acid, you know, wouldn't bother me a bit. I don't think it's cruel and unusual punishment. They're killing people that way. Well, maybe I'm going unconstitutional here. All right, we'll just give them the chair. Hang them. Shoot them.
Tell us how you really feel, Doctor.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't like it. It's evil. Anyway, okay, we're going to take a break here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
He's not there. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Heavy discussion, not too many phone calls, no doubt because you're all so mesmerized with the good discussion and good talk. We'd welcome your phone calls, however, to our new phone line, which is 864-244-9904, especially while our expert producer's in here so we can hear the sound quality and make any final adjustments to it. 864-244-9904. Just call to say hello if you're free and near your cell phone. We know some of you are still on your way out to work, and so we want to give you a quick heads up on the weather.
Yes, we do. It is 61, so we've gained a degree in downtown and in Spartanburg, 62 in Anderson, 63 in Clemson, Look for partly cloudy today, high in the upper 70s, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, so it should be a beautiful day. And tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid-50s, and another pretty day tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the lower 80s. And our quote for this hour is, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but I repeat myself. That was from Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Clemens.
Yes, one of our favorite quotes. We do like that quote very much. Very interesting stuff. Well, here is something else from American Medical, the American Medical Journal, and this is on page 103 of the October 1st edition. It says, Soylent cow chow is people. Like the eternal riddle of which came first, the chicken or the egg, some scientists have pondered the source of the first case of bovine spongiform encephalopathy. I suppose if you're a physician, you could pronounce that better. Possible candidates include sheep scrappy or previously unrecognized sporadic bovine transmissible spongiform encephalopathy. I'm not sure this is worth reading on the air since it's too many syllables. Our listening audience has probably been largely public school educated and can't handle anything over the sixth grade. In fact, some of these words are strange to you, to me as well. Perhaps this is the case. That's why doctors get paid the big bucks, you know, because they can use them big Latin words that no one else does. Perhaps that first case came when the remains of a human infected with transmissible spongiform encephalopathy ended up in animal feed. This event may have occurred in India, according to an editorial by Alan Colchester and Nancy Colchester in The Lancet. To support their hypothesis, the Colchesters, a father-daughter team, rounded up circumstantial evidence that animal remains imported by the UK from India have often contained human remains. Not so, says Susarala Shankar of the National Institute of Mental Health and Neuroscience in Bangalore, India. There has not been a single case of BSE in India, she said, noting that it is careless to speculate in such religiously sensitive territory. Well, anyway, hopefully you're not going to be eating too many human brains that have been processed through your cow meat and that you're getting on your table. I had a great steak last night, by the way. These drug reps, the ones that have to go through all this FDA approval and whatnot to get their drug on the market, they came out and took us to the Chop House last night, my wife and I. It's too expensive for me to go there. It's just prohibitively expensive, but it sure is great. Never had a better steak than that. And every once in a while, we get to go out there. So I was just thinking about that when I was reading the Soylent Green thing. Who knows what was transmuted to me or transmitted to me through that? Talking with those drug reps, you know, there are some interesting issues there. I mean, those guys realize that the high costs of drug and medical care isn't because they take, you know, a doctor out to eat. It's because each drug costs almost $1 billion to get approved. And recently, one went to the final stage of approval. It paid $1 billion, and the FDA decided it didn't like it and didn't approve it. They lost $1 billion. Those costs of government are enormous. And many times they have a drug that can cure. There's a drug right now that can cure cervical cancer, 100% cure rate in all laboratory tests by Merck. Can't get it approved through the FDA process. How many women are going to suffer this year and die maybe because of cervical cancer, and they can't get the drug they need to do it because of the FDA? Sad, but you know, public doesn't know about this. They think the FDA is doing a wonderful job for protecting them. That's what the government does. It protects me. No, the government does not protect you. The government is your enemy. The state is not your friend, pal. The state has been the greatest, most virulent enemy of the church and of humanity in the history of the world. That's the simple facts. There's not any way other way to look at it. Let me read a couple other articles and stories here. Oh, here, let me skip that one. We already read about the South Carolina Constitution Party. This is a funny one. We'll read this. This came from our friend Arnie in Knoxville. He says, we, the sensible people of the United States, in an attempt to help everyone get along, restore some semblance of justice, avoid more riots, keep our nation safe, promote positive behavior, and secure the blessings of debt-free liberty to ourselves and our great-great-great-grandchildren, hereby try one more time to ordain and establish some common-sense guidelines for the terminally whiny, guilt-ridden, delusional, and other liberal bedwetters. We hope these truths to be self-evident, that a whole lot of people are confused by the Bill of Rights and are so dim they require a Bill of Non-Rights. Article 1. You do not have the right to a new car, big screen TV, or any form of wealth. More power to you if you can legally acquire them, but no one is guaranteeing anything. Article 2. You do not have the right to never be offended. This country is based on freedom, and that means freedom for everyone, not just you. You may leave the room, turn the channel, express a different opinion, etc., but the world is full of idiots and probably always will be. Article 3. You do not have the right to be free from harm. If you stick a screwdriver in your eye, learn to be more careful. Do not expect the tool manufacturer to make you and all of your relatives independently wealthy. Article 4. You do not have the right to feel food or to free food and housing. Americans are the most charitable people to be found and will gladly help anyone in need, but we are quickly growing weary of subsidizing generation after generation of professional couch potatoes who achieve nothing more than the creation of another generation of professional couch potatoes. Article 5. You do not have the right to free health care. That would be nice, but from the folks, from the looks of public housing, we're not very interested in public health care. Article 6. You do not have the right to physically harm other people. If you kidnap, rape, intentionally maim, or kill somebody, don't be surprised if the rest of us want to see you fry in the electric chair. Article 7. You do not have the right to the possessions of others. If you rob, cheat, or coerce away the goods or services of other citizens, don't be surprised if the rest of us get together and lock you away in a place you still won't have the right to be, where you still won't have the right to a big screen color TV or a life of leisure. Article 8. You do not have the right to a job. All of us sure want you to have a job and will gladly help you along in hard times, but we expect you to take advantage of the opportunities of education and vocational training laid before you to make yourself useful. Article 9. You do not have the right to happiness. Being an American means that you have the right to pursue happiness, which, by the way, is a lot easier if you're unencumbered by over an abundance of idiotic laws created by those of you who were confused by the Bill of Rights. Article 10. This is an English-speaking country. We don't care where you are from. English is our language. Learn it or go back to wherever you came from. And lastly, Article 11. You do not have the right to change our country's history or heritage. The country was founded on the belief in one true God, and yet you are given the freedom to believe in any religion, any faith, or no faith at all, with the fear of persecution. The phrase "In God We Trust" is part of our heritage and history. And if you're uncomfortable with it, tough. If you agree with this and share it with a friend, no, you don't have to, and nothing tragic will befall you if you don't. I just think it's about time common sense is allowed to flourish. Sensible people of the United speak out, because if you don't, insensible people will do so. Good little, funny little thing for us to read this morning, eh? Okay. The big Bayou gun grab is going on. According to a report that aired on the Lair News Hour on Thursday, displaced New Orleans residents are being allowed to move into a trailer and RV compound called FEMA City, but the conditions for residency include a ban on firearms. This is not acceptable, said the Second Amendment Foundation founder Alan Gottlieb. He noted that the Second Amendment Foundation and the National Rifle Association recently filed a lawsuit in New Orleans, winning a temporary restraining order against the confiscation of firearms by police in both New Orleans and nearby St. Tammany Parish. So here, if you want to move into FEMA City, or you're forced to move into FEMA City, then you can't bring firearms. Can't have them. So they're just practicing again for the police state move, apparently. Anyway, this came out of CNS News, and that was on October the 10th, 2005. So the big Bayou gun grab continues down in that former American state. And then finally, we have here, viewed as a shining star of House Republicans. Congressman Dreyer is viewed by in the Silicon Valley as the Silicon Valley's man in Washington and an affable star of the House Republican leadership. In July profile published by the San Jose Mercury News, the paper said he had become a leading public face for the party. More eloquent and understated, House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Republican from Illinois, a more ingratiating than tough-talking Majority Leader Tom DeLay from Texas, is now under indictment, of course. Dreyer has emerged as the House GOP's leadership public face on television, a reporter wrote. Charlie Black, an advisor to the Bush re-election campaign, told the paper the Bush attitude is get him on every show you can. Representative Dreyer is the chair of the powerful Rules Committee in the House of Representatives. He played a large role in the recall of former Governor Gray Davis and the election of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ooh, that's good. What a great, great thing he's been for California. Republican Congressman.
Yeah.
Republican Give me that 50 caliber weapon. The Republican congressman from California has repeatedly voted against gay rights measures. Is said to be gay himself, and at least three media newspapers said they had to be instructed as to reporters to not ask questions about the congressman's sexuality or how it relates to public policy. Yeah, well, he won't have to talk too much about abortion for his own family, will he? Because that's basically, folks, queer people don't need to have abortions. Unless they're lesbians, of course, and they get artificially inseminated or naturally inseminated by some donor, then they might have to worry about abortions. I don't know. But anyway, we can talk about his, we don't have to worry about his abortion policy, do we? Well, maybe we do, because he could still have an opinion about how it affects other people. I was trying to make a slam there at gay thing, because that's just another revolting thing. Let me tell you my opinion about gay. Well, you know my opinion. It's a disgusting, reprehensible, revolting sodomy, and it's opposed to God and His Word. So, yeah, as a Christian worldview, we're not saying that homosexuals can't be saved or that we don't love people who have that problem, but to promulgate it and promote it as it is revolting, disgusting. And this guy, it's sad when the state gets this sort of person up there. But from my perspective, liberty of conscience perspective, this is who we should probably have. Guess what? This is what's going to happen because the state is evil. And the kind of people it's going to have running it are going to be people like this homosexual from California. At any rate, you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up to our final break, and we'll be back for our last segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a couple brief announcements before we go on with some more stories here. One is that Rip and Richie will be having his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, hopefully today. So if it's not right after the show here at 9 o'clock, we never know when Richie will break in and do his show. But it may be this afternoon at 4:30. So stay tuned on your drive time home and see if you can tune into the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse.
Also, the Tyranny Response Network is still looking for volunteers, people especially. We have an urgent need for people who can help install antenna equipment and things like that. If you're able to help out with that need, or with computers, or with being a substitute producer on the Christian Worldview Show, we'd be glad to hear from you. Simply go to tyrannyresponse.com and click on the Contacts tab, and as you scroll down there, you'll see a number of names. Just email anyone on the list there, and we'll put you in touch with the right people. That's right on tyrannyresponse.com under the Contacts tab. You can also try to give Chuck a call at 271-6761, 271-6761, and he'll be able to talk with you directly if you don't have web access. And then we have the Christian Exodus meeting this Saturday. Been emphasizing that a lot today. 10 o'clock till 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, you'll be able to find out about the truth about Christian Exodus. It's $40 to attend. If you want to attend now, you'll have to pay at the door, but they do need to hear from you early today or tomorrow so they can get a final count for the amount of lunches they'll have to make. Because your admission of $40 does include a lunch. Every child is only $15 if they go. You can call 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578 to register for the event. Speakers will cover a wide range of topics important to Christian constitutionalists, and there'll be panels and workshops talking about how to get to South Carolina, what it's like living in South Carolina, what the current people who are here have been doing. And some of the speakers will be Dr. Hugh Court, yours truly, Dr. John Coben, Mr. Michael Chapman, Mr. Larry Kilgore, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey R. Burnell, the president of Christian Exodus. I hope you can attend. Once again, that number, 877-727-3578. And here's a story that came off of LouRockwell.com that our producer found for us from Paul Craig Roberts, How to End the War. There's already talk this morning about how the official body count from U.S. casualties or deaths is 2,000 now. And there'll be, of course, many thousands and thousands of more if you count Iraqi civilians or others. But at any rate, it's a tragedy that's going on over there. George W. Bush is a natural-born liar, says Paul Craig Roberts. He lied to us into a war, and now he's lying to keep us there. In his October 6th self-congratulatory speech, that is at the neoconservative shrine, the National Endowments for Democracy, the President of the United States said, "Today there are more than 80 Iraqi army battalions fighting to the insurgency alongside our forces." 80 Iraqi battalions makes it sound like the U.S. is just lending Iraq a helping hand. I wonder what Congress and the U.S. commanders in Iraq thought when they heard that there were 80 Iraqi battalions that American troops were helping to fight insurgents. Just a few days prior to Bush's speech, Generals Casey and Abizaid told Congress that, as a matter of fact, there were only one Iraqi battalion able to undertake operations against insurgents. I wonder also who noticed the great contradiction in Bush's speech. On the one hand, he claims steady progress towards freedom and democracy in Iraq. On the other hand, he seeks the American public support for open-ended war. In her Princeton speech, Condi Rice made it clear that Iraq is just the beginning. We have to set out to help the people of the Middle East transform their societies. Now is not the time to falter or fade. On October 5th, Vice President Cheney let us know how long this commitment was going to last. Like other great duties in history, it will require decades of patient efforts. Who is going to pay for these decades of war into which the Bush administration is committing Americans? Already, the U.S. is spending $7 billion a month on war on Iraq alone. The nonpartisan Congressional Research Service says that if the Iraq war goes on another 5 years, it will cost at least $570 billion by 2010. Bush's war has already doubled the price of gasoline and home heating. With U.S. forces just bogged down in Afghanistan, invaded October 7, 2001, and Iraq invaded March 20, 2003, Bush is plotting regime change in Syria and conspiring to set up Iran for attack. Is there a single person in the Office of Management and Budget, the U.S. Treasurer, the Congressional Budget Office, or the Federal Reserve who thinks the U.S. already is drowning in red ink, has the resources to fight wars for decades? And where will the troops come from? The U.S. cannot replace the losses in Iraq. We know about the 2,000 American troops killed, but we do not hear about the large number of wounded. UPI correspondent Martin Seif reported on October 7th that U.S. wounded jumped from 16.3 per day at the end of September to 28.5 per day at the beginning of October. Multiply that daily rate by 30 days and you get 855 wounded per month. Approximately half of these are wounded so too seriously to return to combat. As anyone in the administration pointed out to Bush, Cheney, and Condi Rice, what decades of casualties at these rates mean? Insurgents are killing Iraqi security personnel who are collaborating with the U.S. occupation at the rate of 200 or 300 per month. The wounded numbers are much higher. Last month, suicide bombers killed 481 Iraqis and wounded 1,074. Has anyone in the administration put these numbers in a decades-long context? Apparently not. Once these numbers are put on paper, not even the Bush administration speechwriters can continue to pen rhetorical justifications for war and more war. The neoconservative Bush administration prides itself on not being reality-based. Facts get in the way of the administration's illusions and delusions. Bush's 80 Iraqi battalions are like Hitler's secret weapons. They don't exist. Iraqis cannot afford to collaborate with the hated Americans or with the puppet government that the U.S. has put in place. Out of desperation, some do, but their heart is not in it. Few Iraqis are willing to die for fighting for the United States. When the 2nd Iraq Battalion graduated from U.S. training camp on January 6, 2004, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and U.S. Commander in Iraq, General Ricardo Sanchez, expressed high expectations that Iraqi troops and the General's words would help bring us security and stability back to the country. 3 months later, when the 2nd Battalion was brought up to support the U.S. invasion of Fallujah, the battalion refused to fight and returned to its post. We did not sign up to fight Iraqis, said the troops. Readers write in frustration, tell us what we can do. On the surface, it doesn't look like Bush can be stopped from trashing our country. The congressional midterm elections are a year away. Moreover, the Democrats have failed as an opposition party and are compromised in their support for the war. Bush has 3 more years in which to mire America in wider war. If Bush succeeds in starting wars throughout the Middle East, his successor will be stuck with them. Congressional Democrats and Republicans alike have made it clear they are going to ignore demonstrations and public opinion. The print and TV media have made it clear there will be no reporting that will hold the Bush administration accountable for the deceit and delusion. There is still a way to bring the reality to the Bush administration. The public has the Internet. It has the anti-war movement well enough organized to collect via the Internet signatures petition to impeachment, perhaps one petition for each state. Millions of signatures would embarrass Bush before the world and embarrass our elected representatives in their failure to act. If no one in Congress acted on the petitions, all the rhetoric of war and democracy would fall flat. It would be obvious that there is no democracy in America. If the cloak of democracy is stripped away, Bush's wars for democracy begin to look like the foreign adventures of a megalomaniac. Remove Bush's rhetorical cover, and tolerance at home and abroad for Bush's war would evaporate. If Bush persisted, he would become a pariah. Americans feel that they cannot undercut a president at war, in which case Americans will become embattled people consumed by decades of conflict. Americans can boot out Bush or pay dearly for blood and money. And we appreciate Paul Craig Roberts' good article this morning, and he certainly hit it right on the head today. Well, here is another one that's up about Eustace Mullins. Can pull that one up as well. Lament for the Old South. Well, you know, we may have to save this one for tomorrow because we only have 2 minutes left in the show, and this looks like it may go a ways. I think we may save this one for tomorrow. Eustace Mullins, of course, is a great a critic of the Federal Reserve System. Maybe we'll jump to this one. This came from the research staff. The column by Frank Gillespie, and the Southern Movement really should follow this. And we've actually read this at the beginning of this the other day. Brian France, the boss of NASCAR, continues his efforts to turn back on the people who drove his organization to a $1 billion business. He told correspondent Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes last Sunday that the Confederate battle flag is not a flag I look at with anything favorable. That's for sure. France added he cannot tell people what flag to fly, but he does not encourage the battle flag. France's reason for turning his back on his organization's Southern Culture is to promote racing to minorities. Reaching out to minority is something I work on every day. I work on it personally, he said. In fact, Confederate emblems are already forbidden from display anywhere NASCAR has control. Any area that NASCAR controls at the racetrack, you will never see the Confederate flag, said NASCAR Diversity Director NASCAR diversity director. Tish Sheets, in a recent interview, it's not allowed on race cars, driver uniforms, or the garage area, or any NASCAR licensed product. That was made clear several years ago when the Sons of Confederate Veterans budget funds to sponsor a car. NASCAR refused to allow it in the sponsorship, even though the several teams were struggling to stay in existence. Now we in the Southern movement are accustomed to being attacked by people outside the South. The poor souls have been misled, miseducated, and misdirected into believing that all things Southern are evil. We're doing everything we can to bring them the truth, but when it is one of our own who is betraying us, well, it's very, truly very painful. We have a name for people like that. We call them scalawags. Brian France is the biggest scalawag of all time. Well, I don't know about that, but anyway, he says he knows better, and he does. So you need to be up in arms about NASCAR. Write them letters, send them hate mail, whatever you need to do to get this guy to understand that he's wrong about his understanding of the South and of the Confederate flag. And that's a good way to end our show for the day. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you listened and joined us this morning. We look forward to another exciting edition of Christian Worldview tomorrow at this same place and time. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.